two of the biggest television consultants told me, you're good, we can get you a job, you get some hair, period.
I was the kid who had green hair. You know, remember green hair before like chlorine shampoos and stuff like that.
When I was 13, I met this guy who plays perfect basketball and he's so hot.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Hinkum.
And this week on the podcast, get some hair. three stories about our complicated relationship with our hirsuteness. What's a good synonym for hair?
Fur.
Or fur. Yes. Our dead cells that hang off our head.
Is that what that is?
I think your hair is dead, isn't
what?
It?
Oh, God, that's awful.
Anyway, this first story is a complete hoot. It is told by Marty Bass, who, if you grew up in this town or you've been around here for any number of years, you will recognize him as Baltimore's weatherman. And look, we all know the women who are newscasters or on TV have to have that helmet hair,
yeah.
Right?
They have and to have many have extensions and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So this is a story about what men are expected to have and do in order to be on the TV. Take a listen.
My story of failure is about losing my hair. No, not this bald symbol of first warning weather. I'm talking about losing the hair that got me the job on television in the first place, okay? We're going back into the 70s here, okay? In the 70s, thank you, were a very big deal when it came to hair. And by the way, you know, in the 70s in Baltimore, there was a court case that affected hair nationwide. It was the Hair Garage versus the state of Maryland. It had to do with unisex salons. You could not in this state cut men's and women's hair in the same salon. It went to court. It went to the Supreme Court because of a court case in Baltimore about hair. You now have unisex salons in this country. Hair went to the Supreme Court in the 70s. It was a big deal. Let's think back on that television show from the 70s and early 80s. Welcome Back, Cotter was a cultural icon. Here's Gabe Kaplan, Cotter. Big white guy, Afro. Here's John Travolta, Vinnie Barbarino. You can picture him. Perfect hair. Even the dweeb, Arnold Horshack, had hair. That's exactly 100% correct. Okay? In the 70s, I was in college, and I was on TV at a pretty good TV station, Southern Illinois University. It was widely regarded as a mecca for radio and television. I was in my young mid-20s and starting to lose my hair, trying to get into the professional world. Two of the biggest television consultants told me, you're good, we can get you a job, you get some hair, period. Do it or don't work. I have hair. You're losing your hair. Cover it. Nobody will know when you don't have hair. This was not my idea. I never liked it. As a matter of fact, the hairpiece ranked about number 8 on my who gives a damn list. I didn't wear it at home. It never went on vacation with me. I only wore it when I worked and when I would go out, which is about 95% of your life, okay? So I went to two different news directors at WJZ and very honestly and sincerely said, hey, look, I think I'm established. Why don't we lose the hair? We can make some kind of bit out of it, do it during a rating sweep, yada, yada, yada. And they said, yada, yada, your butt out that door and close it behind you. Well, third time, though, was the charm. After 8 years of not feeling the sun or feeling the wind or even yourself scratch your own head, a new news director, her name was Natalie Brown, one of the first female news directors, major market in America. Natalie said, look, I think you look fine without it. I'm going to go with this, no problem at all. Only problem is, how are we going to do this? And I said, oh, I tell you what, how about if I just go on vacation and come back and it's not there? I said, after 1 or 2 days, The ruckus will calm down. Another news event will come along and push it back to page 23. Oh, yeah. Right. To this day, 22 years later, people come up to me and say, oh, I used to watch that Jerry and Al and Frank Luber, and I remember when you had hair. You know, you laugh. We got over Vietnam quicker. Here's proof. When was the last time somebody came up to you and said, hey, let's discuss Bien Bien Phu? Just last week, my hand to God, this is the truth. A couple came up and this guy says, I remember when you took that hair off and threw it across the studio. Fact of the matter is, that was urban legend that continues today, and that never happened. I came back from vacation, and Don Scott, my partner, was on his vacation. So a reporter anchor named Don Williams had the job of sitting next to me that day. Lucky guy. As usual, I come walking into the studio at the last possible minute, no hair. I sit down, theme starts rolling. He looks over at me and says, didn't you forget something? Nope, zipper's up. I'm ready to go, dude. Okay, boom. We were on the air. Okay, you can imagine what happened at this point. To make a long story very, very short, the UPI and AP at the time took that story around the world. I was on 12 different national radio talk shows, and the Baltimore News American held a poll, side-by-side pictures, Marty with hair, Marty without hair. Should he put it back on? I lost. Okay? I started getting a lot of mail. This was before email, back in the 70s, big bags of mail. I started getting men's hair pieces. I started getting letters of liberation. I was Moses to these guys. When, in fact, I was just like trying to get rid of an embarrassing possibility of a lover taking it off. At this point, WJZ realizes we've got to calm this ruckus down just a little bit. We've got to put some closure on this. So they said, let's come up with some cute story for what was then called Evening Magazine. I said, fine, how do you want to do it? They said, well, you dream it up. It was your idea. I said, how about if we retire it down to Boca Raton with all the rest of the hair pieces from Northwest Baltimore? And by the way, many of them are still walking around Boca Raton attached to people from Northwest Baltimore. So, in fact, that's what we did, and we got permission from an airline back in the 70s. Remember, it was Piedmont Airlines. Got on a plane, strapped into a first-class seat on a wig dummy, and there it went, off and down to Florida. My biggest failure? Losing the hair that I had to wear because of losing my hair. I wished it away 22 years ago, and what are we doing tonight? Here in the creative, we're talking about that damn hairpiece. Thank you.
I mean, he has such a quintessential, like, newscaster voice.
I just love that someone's like, yeah, you're good. Get some hair.
And that the hair went down to Florida.
Yeah.
They flew it down. It was a good PR stunt.
Oh, my gosh. I also just really love the history lesson in here that hair went to the Supreme Court in the 1970s, and that before that decision, men and women couldn't have their hair cut in the same salons.
Yeah.
So we have...
Rightly so. I don't want a man's dead cells next to me.
Oh, man. I love being in hair. There's ASMR in hair salons. I just love it. I could just sit there all day.
That's because you have good hair. Big,
oh my God.
Luxurious.
Luxurious. Didn't I identify with Cynthia Shea's story, is coming up next.
Yeah. But let's take a short break before that next story. Okay, so Cynthia Shea. She is a force to be reckoned with. She currently works for Baltimore City Public Schools, whoop whoop, in the food and nutrition office. And she's a mom. She is an incredible cook. She had a restaurant before that called Soups On.
And she has curly hair.
She has curly hair very similar to yours. Mm-hmm. And so this is a story about when she was younger, and she did what many of us did back in the 80s. Take a listen.
So I was born in 1971, so I really am a kid of the 80s. I'm telling this story tonight about the connection between my sister and I, who is also in the audience right back there, back left, who thinks she has no stories to tell, but she really does. So in the 70s leading into the 80s, in my family, well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize my hair. I have big, curly hair, right? But what I don't have behind this curly hair is a good Jewish mom who knows how to take care of this hair. So we're not Jewish, but I just have this, like, big, curly hair. So my mom used to brush my hair in the morning, right? Hair was sort of this. Hair was a big deal when I was a kid. I also was a swimmer growing up. I was the kid who had green hair. You know, remember green hair before, like, chlorine shampoos and stuff like that. So I had green hair all summer long. Straw. I mean, it was hard to touch. It was green. So at the end of the summer, I really do believe it was 1980, maybe 1981. So at the end of the summer, I had the greenest, longest, poofiest hair. It was disgusting, and it needed to be cut off. And so my mom took me to this salon. It was called Ogilvy and Ogilvy, and it was in Greenwich, Connecticut, and it was like she billed it as this, like, really fancy affair that we were going to, and they just cut all my hair off. And so I was 9 years old. It was 1981, and I looked like a boy. And I was starting school, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days later. So I come home, and I'm sobbing, and I'm sobbing, and I look like a boy, and I look like a boy. And the reality was, I looked like a boy. I mean, so my sister says to me, oh, so the rule in our family was that I think you had to be 13. Carrie, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I do believe you had to be 13 to get your ears pierced. I'm one of three girls, and you had to be 13 to get your ears pierced. But I was 9, maybe 10 years old at this point, and I'm sobbing, and I look like a boy. And we lived about a 10, 15-minute walk from downtown, from Greenwich Ave. And we walked to Greenwich Ave all the time. It was very common. And I came home, and I literally had no hair, and I was so upset, and I looked like a boy. And my sister Kara said to me, don't worry, I'll take you downtown tomorrow to get your ears pierced, and you'll look like a girl. And she did. And so we walked down to the dress box. I remember it was like this brick building with three big windows. We walked into the dress box, and Kara Pive, with her babysitting money, handed the woman, what, $11, you know, to, like, get my ears pierced with these big, huge dungs. And we walked home, and there I was. I was like, I'm a girl, and I look so good, and I'm ready for school. And now, as a mother of a 9-year-old girl currently, I'm like, I would have killed my the older sister, who was like, she looked like a boy, and she needed her ears pierced. But, you know, what are you going to do, right, at that point? So there I am. So, Kara, there's your story for the stoop tonight, and there's my 80s story. Thank you.
So in the 80s, you basically had two options. You could do three, but one was a perm. Two was cut it really short, like, but not in an intentional way, just like a terrible short haircut. Or you could cut it short and get a perm.
If you had curly hair, you mean?
No, for me, for people like me.
Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Who could do the Dorothy Hamill haircut? Not people with curly hair.
That's correct.
Who could do wings?
Me.
Not people with curly hair.
I know, but I couldn't. But it turns out you could. You could have done it better. You just had to get a blowout first. But we didn't know that then. Why didn't we know that?
They didn't know anything about how to deal with curly hair. Seriously.
Why? When did
I have no idea. I have no idea. But, like, everything they told you to do was wrong. And you spent your entire life trying to force your hair to do what it couldn't do, and then being continually angry and disappointed.
Yeah.
I really feel like people from that era know, like they know what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, but she got some nice pierced ears out of it. So.
Yes.
That's all.
You just redirect attention.
Okay. So this last story is from Saran He. And she told this at, she just, so it, at the Stoop in our main stage shows, we have folks that have like signed on to go through the coaching process, and we've worked with them, and they're letting people know they're going to tell the story the night of, et cetera, et cetera. And then we also have the audience storytellers. And so they're there folks that just show up and they throw their name in to potentially get picked, and they just pop up for a 3-minute story. So this is Saran's story from our Modern Love show, which was at Center Stage, I don't know, 10 years ago. And so it's just a fun little quirky story. Take a listen.
So it's a story about puppy love, I guess. When I was 13, I met this guy who plays perfect basketball, and he's so hot, who just looked like Takeshi, who is a Japanese-Chinese movie star. And I just want to play basketball with him. So I had this tomboy style hair and just practiced every day. I had tan skin all the time, and I became really good buddy with him until I was 17. I realized I can't really be his lover if I'm a tomboy. I can only be his buddy. So I started writing him these love notes, put them in small pens, and pass them across the classroom to him. And I maintained eye contact with him all the time. It was lovely. And then, from my perspective, and then, yeah. Then I was 17. I'm kind of girly now. I'm raising my hair. And there's this kind of crazy Asian thing. We have straight hair, as you know, but we want to straighten it, really straighten it. So I put some chemical to it to straighten it, and my hair started falling out. I was 17. I was in the same classroom with a guy, the love of my life, and my hair started falling out. I can't go out. I have to kind of have a hat all the time, and people will care about me, ask me if I have cancer. I never really had cancer. It was hard for the 17-year self, but the it was really hard. It's not funny. Yeah. So I still maintain my ritual, which is every year Valentine's Day, his birthday, I will write him small notes and give him lovely little handmade gifts. But by then, he already stopped talking to me. And I shaved my head after that time. So I was bored. Believe me, V for Vendetta came out that year, and Natalie Portman was so hot. And I did not have the facial structure nor the head. My head was flat, so it doesn't look like that. but then, and that time, the guy sitting in front of me was my good friend, who started taking notes for me because I was nearsighted and I refused to put on my glasses. I would kick him, kick the back of his chair. He know he's gonna give me this section of the note, and we kind of maintain this good work relationship. And then, when I graduated from high school, I did not fulfill my dream of kissing the guy, the love of my life. But then I started dating this kid who keeps telling me, despite my bald head, and after one spring, it's 2-inch long hair. As you all know, it's quite fashionable right now. But he kept telling me that I was pretty, and I believed in that. I guess that's all you need. You don't need anything. Thank you.
I love her self-deprecating sense of humor throughout all of this. And yeah, this is a really neat gem to dig up and discover for the podcast this week. So,
well, I really like the do you made from our hair stories.
Oh my God.
This week.
I'm embarrassed for both of us. Right
no,
now.
That's... I'm trying to think.
No, don't. Please stop. No more thinking.
More. Thank y'all for listening. Please get thee to our newly designed website, stoopstorytelling.com, where you can search for all kinds of stories, hairy and not hairy. Hairy and hairless.
Furry. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you can learn about upcoming shows and events. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for producing the podcast. Thank y'all for listening. And we will be back soon with more stories from the Stoop.